and listen to Mr. Wallace's sermons or my sermons, because I listened to this sermon,
he preached 2 weeks ago because I felt like he was talking to me. But he's really, I mean, I ain't to say because my son, I know the word of God, I know the message, well, the message that he preaches, and they're good messages, they're good shouting messages, convicting messages. But that's his nature. See, he is an evangelist. Evangelist goes and disrupts. And all, if you notice, all his messages have been commanding or accusatory. Because that's what evangelists do. He comes in and he, boom. He goes right to the point where I may not be able to say something. He can come in and say things that God is saying. But all his messages, a lot of times, they're corrective. And he said last week, 2 weeks ago, that this church is dead. He said, stripping that which remains. In other words, he's saying that the church is dead. Now, you got 478? Yeah, that's Psalms 121. Get that and hold it. Then I want you to turn to page 906 in Revelation. And this is what we're going to talk about this morning. But before that, after I give you the scripture, I'm going to have one song. And then we'll go right to the word. But when you get 90, go to 906 first, then go to 478 after 906. When you get 906, you get Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, we're going to read. Amen? Revelation, that's page 906 in your Bible. Revelation chapter 3, 1 through 4, we're going to read. If you was here a couple weeks ago, he preached this a couple weeks ago, but I'm going to try to address some of the things he was saying. Because I don't want nobody to leave the church and go to hell. How about that? Don't step in the church and don't know the Lord. You got millions and millions of people that think they're saved and never confess Christ as their Savior. And just because the church ain't packed out, that don't mean it's God is there. It don't mean God is there. Because you got a lot of churches doing a lot of works and the Lord ain't even there. So you can have a small church and the Lord will be here. So, but because everything that, you know, I think, it's a lot of it's a big churches. Nothing wrong with big churches if everybody there is saved and on one accord. But works don't, just because church is big and do a lot of work in the community and do all this and do that, that don't necessarily make them saved, because Jesus says, addresses this problem right here in Revelation. Okay. You ready? Revelation 3:1 says this. And to the angel of the church, y'all with me?
Yes.
And the angel of the church is the pastor. In seven churches, Jesus is correcting and rebuking churches, and seven churches he was talking about. This is the fifth church, I think it is. These things said he that had the seven spirits of God. The seven spirits of God is Christ himself. He has seven. He is the seven spirits of God, wrapped up in one. And the seven stars are the seven churches. Now this is Jesus Christ himself. He said, "I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead." You got a name that you live in, that your church is living, is active, but y'all are dead. Now, Jesus, look at this. When I say dead, I mean spiritually dead. It means no Holy Spirit at all. Holy Spirit is not working in the church. But you got a name. You're packed out every Sunday. You're big. You're busting out with scenes. And he says, you got a name, but I know you. See, I know your work. I know the whole. I know the real deal. I know you. God's the only one that knows everybody in here. He's the only one that knows everybody in here. You got a name that y'all live, but you said you're dead. Now, when he preached that, I said, okay, well, all right. Well, he might be right. Verse 2. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. That's what was his message last 2 weeks ago. Strengthen the things that remain. I only got a few people here. He says, stripping it that remain, they are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God or complete. Verse 3. Remember therefore how that thou hast received and heard, hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief in the night, as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I come upon thee. Some people died last night. They didn't know the Lord was coming that night. You don't know. Lord, come in. He can come right now before the service is over. He said, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in the white, for they are worthy. Now turn with me to page 478. When you say have the amen, I'm going to read two verses out of there. We're going to read, if you've been saved long, you know, I know you have heard this, this scripture quoted. Read with me. I will lift up my eyes. Read with me. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. Verse 2. My help comes from the Lord which made heaven and earth. May the Lord have a blessing to the reading of the word. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, as we hear this song and hear the word tonight, Lord, I ask you to bless each one that's here. Bless each family represented here. Bless the kids. Bless the elderly, the middle aged, and the young. God, we ask your presence in the service this morning. We ask the Spirit move on somebody. I ask you to open their hearts up, Lord, that they can receive the word today. Thus saith the Lord today. Bless us now as we're about to go into the word. Bless this song in Jesus' name, I pray. Got one song I'm playing. This is anything dead, y'all do what with it? Bury. I'm breathing, so I'm not dead yet, so I ain't ready. We're not dead, amen. Say amen. We're not dead yet. We should be dead as far as our person, because Paul, God said we are crucified him. The evidence that we're not dead, we're going to sing, we're going to fall off the song. And it simply says, lift up the name of Jesus. I lift up the name of Jesus. Now, I know a lot of people got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. They got all that kind of confusing. And you read, when you say that, you think it's three gods, but really it's only one God. And you little things like this song that says, lift up the name of Jesus. Can you say that? Lifting up the name of Jesus.
I'm lifting up the name of Jesus.
Lift up the name of Jesus this morning. Lift up the name of Jesus this morning. I am.
Yes,
I'm lifting the name up to Jesus for what he did for me already.
I'm lifting up the name of Jesus. Oh, wasting time looking for an easy thrill. Looking for peace in every kind of hill.
Marijuana in heaven.
Can't do it
either. No hangover this morning. Thank you, Jesus. He'll set you free this morning. Christ will be there.
know he can do it. Whatever you need, he can do it. No question about that.
Lifting up the name of Jesus.
Oh,
hallelujah.
I'm lifting the name of Jesus. I'm lifting up the name of Jesus this morning.
I'm lifting up the name of Jesus.
Yes, I am.
Every day, not only in song, but in your life. Amen.
Amen. As I was saying, 2 weeks ago, Evangelist Wallace preached on the Church of Sardis, what we just read. It was a dead church. And his message was titled, Stripping the Things Which Remain. And he said, Thou art dead. That's verse 2. So, he said, the church is dead. And I agree with him to a certain extent. Because we ain't busting out with people as you see, but it ain't because of the lack of word. So, as I said, I'm addressing it. As I said earlier, anything dead should be buried. Martha said to Jesus, you remember Martha when she was working in the kitchen and Mary was talking to Jesus? And Lazarus had died, and she said, Martha said it to Jesus, by this time, referring to her brother, he stinketh. If you're not saved this morning, you're dead in trespasses and sin. If you're not a believer in Christ, you're dead in trespasses and sins. Let me say this again. If you're not a believer in Christ, you are already dead in trespasses and sins. If you are saved and still living like you ain't never been saved, I question whether you're a believer in Christ. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, if dead, I need some help. If dead,
I need some help.
Now, I'm alive, you're alive. But Jesus Christ, when you became a believer by placing your faith in Christ, God said you died on the cross and you buried with him, you rose on the third day with him. I'm talking about spiritual death. I'm not talking about physical death, but in spiritually speaking, we're born spiritually dead. That means you don't have no God in your life, no communication, no way for God to talk to you by other through what you're going through. I was at a party last night, and I tell you. Tagging. My preacher at a birthday party. And I see all my old friends. I mean, I see, friends I used to party with, drink with. It's kind of common. It was fun. It's been sitting on my mind, so I got to get it out. They were doing this dance. I asked Eddie about it. It's called the Sticky Leg. And what... I gotta get out of this, it was so funny. And what you do, you stick your leg out there, and you the stick called the sticky leg, right? But things don't change. I was back when it had a twist, so that's and all that, but it was just kind of comical to me. The sticky leg, what's that? Did he stick your leg out of you? I gotta get, because anything dead, it's sticky, you get gangrene, they cut your leg off. So what I'm saying is, you got to, these kids, they ain't listening to what we say. I mean, you got to get them on there. God can move on that music. Just turn around for God's good. But anyway, it's kind of funny. Anyway, if you're dead, you need help. Now, my son that said the church is dead. Okay, if it's dead, and I'm the pastor, or overseer, whatever you want to call me, then why is it dead? Why is it dead? Now, I'm going to read Revelation 3:1 again. But I'm reading the Amplified version. It says, to the angel or the messenger of the Assembly of Church of Sardis, write these are the words of him, talking about Jesus, who had the seven spirits of God, the sevenfold Holy Spirit, and seven stars. He said, I really know your record. He said, I know your record and what you're doing. And they can apply it to the church and follow you. He said, I know what you're doing. You're supposed to be alive, but in reality, you are dead. You're supposed to be alive. You're supposed to be Christ's vessel, but you're, in reality, you're dead. Verse 3 said, wake up and strengthen what remains. Said, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found my works perfect before God. Amplified said this, rouse yourself. Keep awake. Strengthen and invigorate that which remains and is at the point of dying. For I have not found a thing that you have done, any work of yours, meeting requirements my God or by my God or perfect in his sight. So they say, all the works you're doing, all the activity you got going on, God ain't pleased with it. He says, verse 3, remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Hold fast and repent. Verse 4 says, Revelation 3, 4, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white and be worthy. Now, if you are claimed to be a believer, if you claim to be a believer, then you ought to do some works. Now, you're not saved by what you do. You're not saved by works. You're saved by faith. What this church is somebody who's got some faith. And we got to start praying and asking God for certain things, asking God to start sending people, asking God to save my family if you ain't already doing it. And that's why we wanted to have more prayer. So we can start talking, communicating with God. God already knows what you want before you ask for, but he wants you to ask. So we want to try, you know, we want the church to be sufficient. I think it holds 150 people, that's what the sign says. And I haven't seen 150, not in this church. I ain't seen 150 in a lot of churches out in Evercrest, so we ain't the only ones on the block. Amen. Okay, now. The only thing I can figure out is the church, you ain't saved. Ain't no way you can have Christ in you to be dead. No way. But Christ, he said, I'm with you, I'm in you, I'm being. He's in you. So if he's in you, is he dormant or is he active? Now, dormant means it's just there, laying there, doing nothing. Active means he's up, he's active. You're doing things for the Lord, or you're witnessing to God, you are. You're praying for people and you're leading people to Christ. There's no way you can not be active when Christ is in you. Now, I don't know y'all, I don't know who's, I know yourself when you're saved. I can't figure it out how saved folks don't have an interest in the Word of God. I can't understand that. So the only conclusion I come either you're saved. And you know you're saved, or you're not saved, and you think you're saved. There's a lot of that going on too. They people think they're saved, but they really ain't saved, and that could be a problem. But I don't think anybody's in that particular mind in this category. So before you leave it, I want you to know for sure that you are saved, because if you're saved, the Holy Spirit is in you. You have another person. You have the Spirit of Christ. You have Jesus Christ Himself in you. And Jesus is hungry for the Word. He wants you to feed on the Word. He said, faith come by hearing by the Word of God. And faith is the most powerful thing we have. But our faith must be in Christ. It's the most powerful thing we have is faith. All God wants somebody to do is believe what He's saying. That's all He wants us to believe and trust what He tells us. Without any evidence from anything else. We believe faith when we see it. But God said, believe me because I said it and nothing else. So we got to have faith. And faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. Now, whatever you need, the key to getting it is faith. Amen? The way you get that is by faith. And faith comes by one way. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So when we have Bible study on Tuesday, when we have Bible study on Wednesday, and we should be having some Sunday schools here sometime, then the more words you hear, the more faith you're going to have. You have faith to believe for your sister or brother to get saved. You're going to have faith for your neighborhood to change. You're going to have faith for the church. You're going to have, going to have faith. But, as I said earlier, anything dead ought to be buried. And how many of y'all know that Jesus Christ specializes in dead things? He specializes in dead things. Because anything dead, he raises.
Amen.
Anything dead, he raises. So if our church is dead, and, you know, it may be in some areas, he's able to raise it up.
Amen.
My message is, if dead, you need some help. Now, Brother Larry, and some, those who know the scripture, you heard this. You may have heard this song. You heard this a million times. I did before I even got saved. I was looking to the hill. All my help comes from the hill. Comes from the hill. I look to the hill. Amen. From which cometh my help? All of my help comes from the Lord who created what? The heavens and earth. Now watch this. This is before the cross. What happened was Israel, no matter where they was at, they would point towards Jerusalem. They would pray. King Daniel prayed towards Jerusalem. When they came into Jerusalem, there were some hills. And when they seen the hills, they said, "Oh, they started getting happy when they seen the hills. They knew they were getting ready to go into Jerusalem, the house called the House of Bread. So they knew there was help from Jerusalem. So they would. I looked at my hills, and when they see the hills, they started getting hope. But don't you know who made the hills? Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So that hill, the only hill you need to be looked at today is the hill of Calvary. You look at Calvary, and that's where your help came. The cross. On the hill, or far, is that song they sing? On the hill, far, far away, that stood a little Roman cross. I don't know the words. But your help don't come from no hill. Not now. It comes from the cross, who died on the hill, who made the hill, who made the tree that he was hung on. Christ made everything. Amen. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. Word was God. Word is God. Nothing was made. It was made by Christ. So we understand that the hill. When we say that our help comes from the hills, but it comes from the Lord today. It's old chapter. We're in a new chapter. Christ has gone to the cross and died, and has provided everything we need. So if my church is dead, I need to go to Jesus for some help. Not only for the church, but for me personally. Hallelujah. My help comes from the Lord. Jesus Christ is not only the Son of God, He is God Himself. Read John 1:1. He came in the flesh, manifested Himself as a Son. Now you've got to understand this. Jesus Christ is fully man and fully God. He never relied on his humanity to help him in life. He had the Holy Spirit, which we have today. The same Spirit that Christ had in him, we had the same Spirit. The same Spirit that led him to Calvary. The same Spirit that told him to say it's finished is in us. The same Spirit that made the moon, the stars, and everything else. That same Spirit is in us because of what Christ did at the cross. Your help is already in you. Your peace is already in you. Your strength is already in you. So you don't need to look to the hill. You need to look to the cross. Look to Christ on a daily basis. And your help is going to come. Well, as I said, it ain't dead. You ought to bury. Well, my Bible said all have sinned. Everybody has sinned. Uh-huh. And the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of life is the gift, but God the Lord, He gave unto God, who shall believe in Him shall not perish, will have everlasting life. But the wage of sin is death. And we're already sinned enough, to go to hell. We already sinned enough to go to hell. Amen?
Amen.
But God said, well, as I said earlier, well, God specializes in dead things. Uh-huh. Anything dead, you ought to bury it. Uh-huh. God said, anything dead, I can raise it up. Well, Jesus said, I got the power to lay my life down. I got the power to raise it up. But you know who raised Jesus up? It was the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit is in you. Well, you don't feel like you're going through tests and trials. Uh-huh. Your faith is getting tested. You want to give up. But you got something in it. You got bounce back power in it. His name is Jesus. Uh-huh. And His Spirit is the Holy Spirit. Well, you got bounce back power. Well, if He knock you down, you can get back up. Uh-huh. So He can get you back up. Well, the Bible tells me in Ephesians 2 says this. You had he quickened, made alive. That's for you and me before we got saved, who were dead in trespasses and sins. We're in times past. We're held. You walk according to the prince of the course of power of the air, according to the prince of power of the air, which is the devil himself. He says the spirit that now works in children disobedience. It's a spirit in people that are not saved. That are not believing. It's a spirit. It ain't God's spirit. It's a spirit in children, the children of the devil that work up in is working. Among whom? Now, don't you forget where you was at one time. He said, and among whom also we had all had our conversations in time past of our flesh. Fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature children wrath even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, where he loved us and gave himself for us. Even when we were dead in sin, amen. Even when we were dead in sin, Christ died on the cross for us. While we was bad and doing all we could wrong, God has made us alive. We were dead. And it says this. We couldn't have together with Christ. By grace are you saved. He has raised us up from me and you and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, or the worlds to come, we might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness were up to Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved, not of works. It's a gift of God. So, well, I was dead, and you were dead. Well, now going back to Revelation 3, it said, remember, verse 3 said, remember therefore the vows that have received. What have you received? How do you know that you're saved? How do you know that you're saved? He says this. I wasn't there when you got saved. I don't know where you can give it life. But it says this. Remember therefore what thou hast received and heard. Hold fast and repent. So what did you receive to be saved? You go up to the preacher and shake his hand? Did you get water baptized? What did you do to get saved? What did you receive when you gave Christ life? What do you remember? How you got saved? Do you remember? Now, I got Charlie and I got Angie. I want them to read these scriptures for me now. Now, understand this. Most people, this is the truth, are going to hell. The majority of people are going to hell. But most people are going to hell. Don't let it be you. Because as you see, the world's getting worse and worse every day. Worse and worse. It's always a remnant. Never the majority. It's always a small portion of people. The Jews, it's going to be some Jews saved. A remnant. It's always a small portion. Now, God's desire is that everybody be saved. That's his desire. That everybody, he don't get no pressure out of people sending people to hell. And he don't sit on it. The decisions you make here on earth determines where you're going to spend eternity at. But Christ is soon to come. Now, I know that sounds kind of verse. I say, well, everybody, majority of people are going to, they are. Because most don't accept Christ as the Savior. Most don't. A lot don't. And those who claim to accept Christ, there's really a question. I have to question salvation because if you got saved by the same spirit I got saved and by that person got saved, and you don't have a desire for God's word, you don't have a desire to serve the Lord, then I question whether your person is saved. So remember what you received. Now, what did you receive? Now, I want Tanya to read, I think it's...
2 Corinthians 4:3.
Yes. Now, read. Why is she going to read this? Now, watch this. I'm telling you the reason why most people ain't going to be... I'm telling you the reason why most people don't get saved. Why would you tell somebody some good news and they don't want it?
If I tell you, Angie, I got $100 here.
Oh.
I got good news. I'm going to give you $100. This is an illustration. Good news. Good news. I'm going to give you $100.
Okay.
Oh, thank you, Pastor. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, you got good news. And you want to tell your brother, your sister, or a friend you know at the shelter, or wherever you know, wherever you're at.
Mm-hmm.
You want to tell some good news, amen?
Amen.
But they don't want it. Mm. Now, what do you think if I God sees your faith in Christ. He says, once you carry out, you get water baptized, you go down, you're buried in the water, water grave, symbolic. But you're already saved before you get water baptized, symbolically. You go down to a grave, Christ went down to the tomb for 3 days. Okay, you go down in the water, identify with him. He just bound up, I think, my sin. You go down in the water, type of bird, and you come up, and he raised you up. Not the same old person you was, but a new creature in Christ. But it's symbolic of what took place the day you had faith. Amen?
It's symbolic of what you had there you took place. I didn't keep thinking against water baptism, but water baptism, that in itself, don't save you. I was talking to somebody last night, and the man's confused. He said, I've been baptized, and even he didn't got wet. See, the devil knows the truth will make you free. So you have people thinking, why don't I get on water baptism? You have people thinking that water baptized, it don't, Christ said, get baptized because you're going to demonstrate what I've done for you. You're going to die on the cross. I died, I was buried. It's symbolic of what he did. And you should get water baptized, but if I never get water baptized, that don't mean I'm saved. I'm saved by what I believe. And he said, unless you believe in vain, what I preach into you. Then he tells them what he preached into them. It's by faith in the death, burial, and resurrection that saves you. Now, before I get ready to tell the sermon, I want you to all say this prayer together. But I want to make sure that you are saved. Because I don't want you going to church and gospel. You never told them the gospel. You never told them good news. I don't care if you should know what you're saying. You should know that. Because the Spirit in you is going to bear witness to that fact. But so, I don't know how you got. I wasn't there. Shake a preacher's hand, oh nice, thank you for coming to church. Now I'm going to baptize. I see it happen all the time. You won't get, they won't get baptized, okay? Do they have express faith in what Christ said? I mean, in the gospel? No. They've got water baptized. And nothing wrong with water baptism if you believe first. As I said, water baptism is symbolic of what took place. When we have communion, what were we doing? We remember what Christ did on the cross for us. The two commandments Christ gave us was water baptism and communion. Both talking about his death, burial, and resurrection. Amen?
Amen.
Communion is celebrating that he died on the cross for us. We take communion, taking his blood, not literally, but symbolic. Symbolically, not real. Amen? So, if the church, if we're dead, hallelujah, we know the one that can raise us up. Well,
yes.
I'm here to tell you this morning, God not dead, he yet alive, And last time I read the scripture said, let everything that have breath, let them praise the Lord. Well, if you're breathing, you're not dead, If you're breathing this morning, you're not dead. Well, hell, you're not dead physically, but you might be dead spiritually, And if you're dead spiritually, well, I know one who can raise you up, His name is Jesus, The bright morning star, well, he's the lily of the valley, well, I'm coming to a close, You need to look to the hill, Or look to the cross, All your help, comes from the cross, well, grace and truth came by Jesus, Grace means unmerited favor. You don't deserve it. God gives to you anyway because he loves you so much. He gives you something you don't deserve. He said, while you were yet sinners, while we were yet partying, doing everything we could do, all bad we could do, God died, Christ died for us. He paid the price for the shed blood on Calvary. And I'm here to tell you, I'm an evidence, that when he died and rose on the third day, I'm here to tell you, it's true, it ain't no fairy tale, it's the truth. Well, God died, he was buried, rose on the third day, and all you gotta do is place your faith, in what he did at the cross. Well, if you got saved by faith in the cross, you get everything else by faith in the cross. Well, you look to the cross, the hill, that's the Old Testament, but he died on the hill, far, far away, but that you may get the benefits of being alive. Well, I'm so glad, that the King of Glory, I'm talking about Jesus, God loves glory, but you know who the King of Glory is? Do you know who the King of Glory is? Why did God want glory? Why did God want praise, honor? Glory be to God. Say, last thing my mother said, glory be to God. What is glory? Glory, I heard one definition say, glory is that which can be seen, Tanya. Glory is that which can be seen. It means honor, majesty. I'm not thinking of time. I think of myself. I don't use myself. I just think of Tanya. Angie, anybody here God does them for?
Yes.
And you know God did it?
Yes.
And you tell people God did it?
Yes.
You're giving them glory. You're giving them credit for what he did. Now, you got to say, glory to God. Praise be to God. But now, you're saved. He wants you to help somebody else. And when that person gets what you got, they're going to give glory to God. And the Bible says, Isaiah, well, the whole earth is full of his glory. The whole earth is full of his glory. If I lose weight, and the Lord did it, guess what he's going to get? Glory. He's going to get glory. Because I'm going to get a praise to him. It's not going to be Jenny Craig. It's going to be saying no to chitlins and hog balls. But what I'm saying is, anything that you let God do, and you know he did it, he gets the glory. He gets the praise. And so I made my mind up, I want to give God glory. One way is to get this weight off. Through him. I'm going to say this. Anything, if you tell people about Jesus, you're giving God a glory. You're telling the people that Jesus did this for me. He saved me. You're giving praise. He's getting glory. And that's the only thing he wants. But I said, you know who the King of Glory is. The King of Glory is in Psalm 24. Says, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ever lifted up, ye everlasting door, and the King of Glory shall come in. The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. Then it said, lift up your head, all you get, beat up the everlasting door, and the everlasting door, and the King of Glory shall come in. Strong and mighty, mighty in battle. He said, the Lord, high and mighty, he's the King of all glory. Jesus Christ is the King of all glory. Michael Jackson had glory. A lot of dead men had glory, got praise and honor while they were living. But the King of all glory is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All glory, true glory, belongs to him.
Amen.
And everybody, if I'm getting glory and I ain't giving Jesus credit, then woe with me. Because I know nothing but the blood, nothing but Jesus got me here this morning. Nothing but Jesus saved me. It wasn't shaking the preacher's hand. It was none of that. Jesus Christ loved us, loved me, loved you so much that he died for you before you was even born. Before the foundation of the world, God already has you on his mind. It's dead. You need help. I will look to the hills. Well, and that's past tense. Well, present tense. Well, you ought to look to Jesus. You look to Calvary. Understand that he took care of your money problem. Well, your physical problems. He addressed every disease. Every habit that was ever made. The devil ever put on anybody. He addressed cancer. He addressed diabetes. He addressed overweight. He addressed obese. He addressed everything at the cross. And he nailed it. He nailed it. He rose on the third day. He said he nailed it on a wall. Said, you're free. You're free. All you got to do is what? Have some faith. Have some faith. Well, hell, you had faith to get saved. Well, you have faith to get everything else you need. Well, you need money. Have some faith. You need a job. Have some faith. Whatever you stand in need. You need a house. You need a home. You need whatever you need. I'm here to tell you this morning. You got to have faith. Understand it's the cross. Well, that provides everything you need. Cross is the source. Jesus is the means. Well, Jesus is the source. The cross was the means. Well, Jesus is the source of everything you need. He said, I can supply all your needs. Well, according to my riches, he owns everything in the world. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, if you're dead, receive the help. The help is Jesus. No other help I know. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus in the morning. And Jesus in the noontime. And Jesus when your gum sun go down. I'm here to tell you this morning, it's Jesus. You can't get a job. Can't get an apartment. Ain't got enough money for the deposit. Ain't got nothing. You ain't got nothing. All you got to do is say Jesus. And faith. It may not come when you want to, but it's going to come right on time. Well, I'm here to tell you. I'm a witness. It'll come right on time. Well, I'm here to tell you whatever you need. Jesus got it, He got it, He paid the Christ on the, paid the price on the cross. Well, hell, all you got to do, is receive it by faith.
Amen.
Simply believe in what God says. Faith plus nothing. The children of Israel, Brother Larry, at the Red Sea, Pharaoh's army, the devil's after me. They say that. The devil's after me. Pharaoh's having the devil. He let him go. But God brought out a strong hand. He broke the gallon out. Now, this is, see yourself here. See yourself in this picture. I used to love this devil. I got saved. I said, bye-bye, devil. Pharaoh was forced to let Israel go, right? He was forced on to kill his own first-begotten son, right? He forced him. He said, get him out of here or kill somebody else. Get him out of here for God's sake. You know, death isn't coming to somebody else.
Yeah.
Now, this cost you got saved.
Yeah.
You think that devil's going to let you get away scot-free? He's going to let you go? Pharaoh was forced when he thought about it. Well, how did them go? So he came after them, right? You got mountains on both sides. Red Sea in the front. Devil in the coming up from behind. What did they do? Moses said, God told him to stretch out his hand. Now, how did he get across the Red Sea? Somebody help. They couldn't handle boats. They couldn't work their way through it. Moses simply believed God. Did he work for it? He believed God, and he told them, stretch out the rod. The word of God. Type the word of God. Stretch it out. And guess what happened? Red Sea come back. All they did was what? Have faith in God. Did that work for it? Didn't do nothing for it, didn't deserve it. God simply gave it to me because of what? Never faith. Time of salvation. Never faith.
I'm telling you, the key to this life is faith in Christ. And Christ give you power. And little Aunt, let us know, power of God, too. Because you can't get away from death without power, right? You can't get away from the devil without no power. The power we got ain't no. You wasn't no match for the devil. So let the devil see you. You ain't no. You wasn't a match for the devil. And if you ain't got Christ, you still ain't a match for him. Amen. And if you don't know nothing, you still ain't a match for him. You got to know what God has done for you. You got to know what's in you, who's in you, and you got to know what the Word of God says. God said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." With that, I'll close.
Amen. If dead, you need help.
Won't you come?
I will see you again. And with my heart.
Hallelujah.
Oh,
Greg, get your arms together. Greg, get your arms together. We'll close out. I want everybody to say this with me. I don't want you to leave out here not saved. Repeat after me. I admit that I'm a sinner. Say that. I haven't always did right. But I believe that Jesus Christ died for all the sins I committed. And he was buried. And on the third day, God raised him up. If you confess that and believe it in your heart, you are saved. If you confess that, definitely you are saved. Now, I can't see your heart. Only God knows in your heart. But if you said it in your heart, you are now saved. I'm going to go ahead and get your offering together. I want to wish my aunt a happy birthday. And Mr. Lash, I want you to have a birthday. I want to say something before we leave out, before we go back and eat. Mr. Lash has been, since I've been here 10 years now, going on 11, he's always been faithful. He don't have about two or three other pastors before me, but he's faithful. I mean, he's going to be consistent. And I appreciate him for being faithful, not to me, but to the church. You know, he's come out and opened up the church. He's always going to go to Bible study. He's a faithful member. And my aunt, she is more like a mother. They said you want to say something. I ain't saying that. I'm saying that. I ain't saying they don't say that. You don't say something about somebody. They can't hear it when you're dishing it down in at 6 foot. But I appreciate it because she's been like a mother to me than an aunt. So I was blessed with two mothers because from the time I can remember from a little tub and getting washed on three years old, I could go from 3 years old on up, washing my little behind and always getting me clothes. Even never stopped. Always trying to get stuff for me. Always got me on the mind. So she's more like a mother. I don't even consider her. She's more like a mother because me and Eddie was the same age, so we kind of like grew up together. And I was going to appreciate being my second mother. Appreciate say thanks for being my second mother because you know she really took care of me. even now she's still faithful to me, and I thank God for her. And I appreciate it. Happy 75. You know, 75 years now get you started. You just now get started. Abraham was 75 when God told him he was going to have a child. 25 years later, he had a son. So 75, you're just getting started. Amen. I think Mr. Lash is 91. He's running. He's started and running. So praise the Lord for God keeping y'all around. I'm just dumb enough to believe that God kept y'all around for me. Amen. I make it personal. I'm just dumb enough to believe that. You're around here, y'all, God keeping y'all around for me. All right, go ahead and get your offering together. Please stand with it when you get it. I need an envelope, Mr. Lash, as usual. Ain't got none? That ain't proper English. Ain't got none. You don't have to do anything, Big Creek. You got Chef Wallace back there. So I want y'all to stay and take an ice cream and whatever else we got back there. Thank my daughter for coming and bringing the kids. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for the service this morning, Lord. I thank you for people confessing with their mouth, believing in their heart that you saved, died, and raised. Die and bear and raise for them. I ask you to bless the food about to receive for a nursing body. Bless the offering they're going to bring. And God, we give you the glory because you can fix any problem, any situation. You're able to fix it. You're highly recommended and you're able to do a seemingly abundant above all to ask the thing. Bless the offering as they come. We use this offering to help build the kingdom, to pay our gas bill, electricity bill. Lord, you know the needs of the church. Bless them as they come. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many know Jesus can fix anything? get ready to go home, y'all.
Yeah. Somebody said, but you can't wait until after the situation is over to bless the name of the Lord. Those type of praisers are conditional praisers. Ask somebody, are you a conditional praiser? But there are those individuals that got crazy faith. That even though they're looking at the obstacle before them, they're not going to allow what they see to hinder what they believe. So I just want you to touch your neighbor and just tell the person next to you, I'm going to praise him in advance.
There was no one around. Thank you.
those hands right now. This is a good place. Come on, celebrate it. If you really love to worship, come on, begin to bless him. Come on, come on. Give him the fruit of your lips right now. Come on. Everybody in this place, come on, stretch your hands before your God. Just celebrate him. Come on, come on. Tell him how much you love him. Tell him how much you care. Tell him how great he is in your life. Come on, just love him, Lord. I'm talking about your Savior. Thank you.
Thank you. when Philly feels you. Come on. You're going to stay right here until you get what you came here for. Come on, come on. This just ain't no concert. You're supposed to come in and experience God.
Calling on that the birds may have their singing, and the melody that he sings to me within my
I'm